Well, the Eagles have ruled the world one time in the Super Bowl era, and that was 2017. Of course, three other times in their history winning a championship, 48, 49, and 60. This one feels like a long, long way away. Now, the crazy thing is they got a good shot at the playoffs. Division's open, three wildcard teams. I mean, they certainly can find their way into the postseason. But, man, to actually be elite, they got to play a lot better than this. All right, for more on the Birds, we turn to one of the great Eagles players of all time. Seth Joyner with us every single Monday in studio for an entire hour, fielding your phone call and offering his phenomenal expert analysis. He's always brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. All right, Mr. Joyner, I could ask you 15 different first questions. I'm just going to say this. Sir, the floor is yours. Your reaction to anything and everything from yesterday.
Let me see. Where do I start? I'm going to tell you this. I didn't get up in time enough to actually listen to you guys. A lot of the times I pull up 15 minutes early and just sit out and listen to what you guys are talking about.
We've talked more about Sirianni than the game.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
How about this? Why did Nick think that was okay yesterday, what he did?
I think Nick is overly emotional. And I think his emotions get the best of him at time. And John, I would venture to say if that was you and me and the fans were cheering, fire Nick, fire Nick, fire Nick, it might have been difficult for us to hold our emotions in that minute.
Yeah.
Just because I know what it is to be on the field and have someone poke the bear, and you know that you're going to get a 15-yarder when you retaliate. But there's this something inside you that won't let you, it won't allow you to exercise common sense.
It's a good analogy.
I'm just being real. I'm not trying to justify what he did.
He's got to be smarter than that. As the head coach, he has to be above that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But Seth, that was only the first of many. I mean, then you get the press conference and you got the kids and you got being indignant about, you know, the offense struggling early. And then you get the comment about the fans booing and chastising the fans. I mean, it was a cascade of nonsense.
How'd you feel being reprimanded by Nick yesterday? Do you enjoy that?
You know, I don't really pay much attention to anything he says, to be honest with you. You know, the head coach and the two coordinators have press conferences every week. I oftentimes listen to what Vic Fangio has to say. Less and less I'm beginning to listen to what Kellen Moore has to say because I realize that his hands are being tied. Because when you look at this offense, it's very, very clear to me that this is not Kellen Moore's offense, that Nick Sirianni's got more of his hands on this than anything. And I guess his feeling is, hey.
Why do you think it's Nick Sirianni? Because I think there are some of us who think it's someone else.
Look at the offense. You're going to sit here and tell me that offense doesn't look like it did the last 6-7 weeks of last season? Come on.
And you don't think that's about Jalen? Because what John's alluding to is I think they're coaching around his deficiencies.
No.
And come back to a similar point.
No. Listen, when you call offensive plays, they call it offensive coordination for a reason. Okay? You have multiple formations. And sometimes those formations are camouflaged. They're the same thing, but they're with different personnel groupings. And you're running sometimes the same plays out of, you know, similar formations with different personnel groupings. But there's no creativity to what we do. The most productive formation for us yesterday was 12 formation with twin tight ends to one side and two wide receivers to the other. Mm. And if I can see that with my football eyes, you're going to tell me that defensive coordinators who are paid millions of dollars to live this thing, you know, damn near 24/7, you can tell me that they can't see it?
Why is it when I watch the Detroit Lions offense with Jared Goff, who, you know, man, he really struggled for the longest time. They now have a teacher/offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, who is up for head coaching jobs, it seems like the last couple years, sticks around, keeps you know, everything stays status quo, and they've got crazy looking plays, fun looking plays. Like it's Everything's on the table. They're throwing the kitchen sink at the Dallas Cowboys when they're up by 30 points yesterday. He doesn't care that he's using plays he's never used before because he knows he can just make up more. He's that gifted an offensive mind, and I hoped that was what we were in store for here in Philadelphia. It became clear very early on that that was not the case, but now what? You know, like...
John, don't get it confused, okay? Deep down inside, Jared Goff still is who he is. He still is the quarterback that they traded from the Rams to the Lions to get Stafford so that they can win because they knew they couldn't win with him, okay? You know what the greatest difference is? And nobody wants to talk about it. I've been harping for years. There's only one or two quarterbacks in this football league, in the National Football League, that can survive without a running game. It's simply, that's just a fact. The better you run the football, the better opportunity you give your quarterback to be successful. They drafted a running back in the first round, the Lions did, and everybody laughed at that draft. It then motivated Montgomery, who was stuck in Chicago forever. He looks like an all-pro running back right now. So when you run the football, now you've got a complete playbook that's wide open, and you can just you can pull plays out of the air,
Seth.
To make them work.
We just don't
run the ball effectively, and we run the same damn running plays. We're going to run Saquon Barkley right up the middle, right up the middle, right up the middle. Where are your off guard, off tackle, outside plays to get him to spring him? The plays that have actually worked, where he's broken plays for long runs, they've been off tackle. But we keep running it right up the middle. And you know what? Jalen's living in shotgun again. And when you live in shotgun, this is
what
happens.
That's coming out of the bye.
The only way that you can run the ball out of shotgun is a quick toss to the side that he's offset to, or you got to hand him the ball going across the formation.
Yeah, okay? Like a cross buck.
So when you've got defensive tackles that are smart enough, or coordinators that are smart enough to see that in obvious pass rundowns, they're going to run games and penetrate to the side where he's going across to make him have to cut back. They're going to cut it off. They're not even smart enough to put him in. Put him under center. Put him in. The one time we were having this conversation while the game was going on before post game yesterday, I said they are bumping their head against the wall. I don't understand why they don't dot him. If you got to play him in the, you know, if you got to put Jalen in the shotgun, at least put the running back in the pistol. So now you give the defense some kind of variety. Yeah. We may run it right. We may run it left. The next play, they put Gainwell in the pistol. And they hand it off. He busts it for 19 yards. And they look at me. They're like, I'm trying to tell you. This ain't rocket science. I've been around this game too long.
Yeah.
And this thought that you're going to run it on first down, come out and throw it on second down every freaking time. If you go back and you look at the play-by-play, that's exactly what they did in the first half. The first quarter of that game. That's why they didn't do squat.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Seth with us in studios here every Monday at this time for an entire hour. Drew in Westchester right now. Drew, good morning.
Hey, good morning, folks. So I'm going to start out saying I thought the Eagles were really bad yesterday. It was basically 3 hours pulling teeth.
You know, Drew, you know what was also bad? The odds makers who had them as a 9.5-point favorite. I mean, they're just not good enough for that.
They're a 4-point favorite against the Giants.
Boy. Mm. All right, Drew, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, they just haven't blown a team out in forever.
Totally. So
I don't know who could have expected them to cover.
The odds makers are not watching tape. The bettors must be watching tape, but they're making major mistakes. I don't know why.
Let me tell you something. Let me have you guys step back for a second. Okay.
Yep.
If you think about it, the defense played a hell of a game.
Sure did.
That blocked field goal at the end of the game. Come on. That was the difference in them not covering.
Yeah.
Think about it.
No, that's fair.
Think about it.
That's fair.
And we get a double-digit win if the special team doesn't screw that up.
Yeah, but there's also this possibility. No, that's fair, Seth. I'll just say this. If they miss a 57-yarder in a conventional way, which is possible, you know, Deshaun Watson's only got to go about 20 yards for his own field goal. I mean, I didn't like the decision because you're giving a bad offense the ball at midfield if you miss a 57-yarder.
No, listen, I have no problem with Jake Elliott kicking a 57-yard field goal.
against a bad offense.
No, I don't. Not in that situation because, Joe, the points were too hard to come by. You had to get what you can get.
Yeah, but for Cleveland also.
I understand that. But look, think about the games that we lost this year that we probably could be undefeated in. Well, with the exception of Tampa.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
The Atlanta game, we win that game if he takes the three early.
I know.
Okay? So the points are important. The most egregious thing was the third and three situation where they line up to bring a blitz. You got AJ by himself, one-on-one with a cornerback 8 yards off of him. Now, every game that I've turned on yesterday, I'm watching everybody's number one premier wide receiver. They got a third and short situation, and the cornerback's 7 to 8 yards off the ball. You know what they do? They raise up, they throw him the ball, they let him get the first down.
Easy first down.
Okay?
Yeah.
Why in the hell are we trying to, versus the blitz, and you see that we don't have enough in the box to pick it up. See, this is why I'm talking to you about the fact that this ain't Kellen Moore's offense. This is the same dumb stuff that Nick Sirianni was doing last year, and it's re-manifesting itself all over again when you watch the game. They got too many guys in the box. We can't pick it up. But what do? Instead of raising up, throwing AJ the slant or throwing him the quick ball outside, no, we ask Jalen to drop back and throw a nine route. I just don't understand. It's almost like they just don't learn.
What about the generalship of Jalen in that moment to just do that on his own? Shouldn't he know that?
Hey, listen, him and AJ got in trouble last year.
I know.
And had to stand up in front of the world and apologize for going rogue.
Yeah. All right, Drew, let me get back to Drew. He just called and we hijacked your phone call, buddy. Drew, go ahead.
All good, guys. So the main point of the call, one thing I did want to say was we're talking so much about like Sirianni's like antics and all. It's a little ironic to me that the guy who it seems like most people would like to be the coach in Bill Belichick is not exactly known for media decorum or friendliness. Yeah.
Well, if you hire him, Drew, you're not hiring him for that. You're just not. You're hiring him to try to have 6 Super Bowl rings become 7. I mean, that's why you're hiring him.
Yeah, I get that. It just feels a little contradictory.
I know.
To me, of like you kind of can't have it both ways. I don't know. Look, I think
he's not going to yell at people behind the bench or bring his kids up to a news conference.
No.
Pretty sure that
he did hire his son, who I don't think was a very good coach at one point. So he does things in different ways there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm obviously happy we won the game, but I feel like the rest of the season it's going to be a lot kind of like, you know, yesterday.
It's a slog. Look, this season
try
is
to grind it out and hopefully win more than we lose.
Correct. This is a root canal. You hope at the end of the root canal you have a better mouth. I mean, that's what we got. We got a root canal this year. So it's not fun. You're going to win sometimes. You're going to lose sometimes. And it's what it is.
You hope at the end of the root canal you have a better mouth? Have you had a root canal?
No.
Yeah.
No, you just want the pain gone.
What do I know about a root canal?
They're basically cutting the nerve off.
It's just a good analogy.
They're cutting the nerve off. You hope that you don't ever feel it again.
Yeah, there you go.
I kind of feel that way about Nick Sirianni.
Correct. Yeah.
You wanted them to give Nick a root canal.
All right, Seth.
Nick is the root canal.
Seth, let me swing this to a massive positive. And I thought there's two main reasons why the Eagles won yesterday. A.J. Brown is remarkable. And the Cleveland Browns stink. I mean, I really would boil the game down that simplistically. Let's talk about A.J. Brown for a moment. So I remember asking you last year in the midst of his heater, sometime first 7, 8, 9 games. I know you were, you didn't see all of Harold Carmichael. I didn't see all of Harold Carmichael. But I know you saw and played with Mike Wick. You saw the whole T.O. thing. And you've seen the whole A.J. Brown thing, including up close the last 3 years now here. Last year you had Mike above the other two. Is AJ getting close in your mind for you to pass Mike Wick? Because I know in the last 40 years, we've been very, I mean, forget Deshaun and Fred Barnett. We've had some really, really good receivers, but like the top three in the last 40 years, clearly are Mike Wick, Terrell Owens, and AJ Brown, who is just a stud. And then Harold before that. Can you talk about how great AJ is and whether he's getting close for you to be number one in that group?
No, not yet.
Still Mike?
But yeah. I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If Mike Quick stays healthy, he's Jerry Rice status.
He was incredible.
That's just my opinion, because I got to see it up close and personal every single day throughout the first 5 years of my career.
Yeah. And no offensive line, so the ball couldn't get to him because there was no protection.
No.
It was a travesty. And then the knees. All right. Yeah. So how about AJ versus Terrell Owens? Most listeners are old enough to have seen both. I mean, let me put it this way. When you're in the Terrell Owens conversation, you're really freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a baller, Seth. He saved their ass yesterday.
Terrell was faster. Terrell was bigger and faster than AJ, I think.
And he was a lot more aggressive. Listen, T.O. played with a defensive mindset. That's what set him apart. He played angry all the time.
Yes.
You know, AJ doesn't play that way.
Mm-hmm.
He was highly emotional. AJ doesn't play that way. AJ make a catch, and all you can see is white teeth shining underneath that visor. You know, T.O. never played that way. AJ plays with a lot of joy. T.O. played with a lot of anger, you know. And, I mean, sometimes, you know, that works for you because, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, that's the way I had to play. But AJ is just a special wide receiver. I mean, I watched him catch that ball against his chest yesterday, and the guy's trying to rip it out.
Yeah.
And I really never noticed how massive his hands are. It's like once he gets his hands on the ball, it's a wrap. Don't let him get both of them on there. You're not knocking that ball out. You're not punching the ball out from him. It's just, and then the early touchdown that he had early in the season where he actually ran away from guys,
yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
Because I never really saw him.
I didn't realize he was that fast either.
Guy.
I thought he was more of a strength guy, like what you're talking about, the hand strength. Just look at him. He's built
totally
strong, like running back strong. I didn't realize he could outrun people like that. I mean, it looked like legit 4.3 looking speed, which I didn't know he had in
his
repertoire.
It's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm so perplexed sometimes why they don't use that. Because he's the perfect body type to run slants to get 3, 4, 5 yards every single time. Especially if a cornerback dares to get up and bump. Like, T.O. would beat the cornerback up off the line of scrimmage first. You know, these guys now, they just run their routes. They don't realize that, you know, if the cornerback has the ability to put his hands on you, then you have the ability to knock his hands off.
Sure.
And T.O. would beat cornerbacks up at the line of scrimmage.
Well, let me tell you, my favorite play T.O. ever had here, and he had a lot of great ones, obviously 04 primarily. My favorite T.O. play was 05. James, you'll remember this. When he caught the screen pass, it's like a little, you know, I don't know if screen's the right term. They just throw it to him against Champ Bailey. Donovan, boom. And he just removes Champ Bailey. He just removes him and then runs 91 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I think it was 91. 90 or 91.
Him like stiff arms him?
It was like a stiff
about?
Arm. It was like
he's running this way. He
wasn't even running.
The way he's going. And
he wasn't even running. He just, it's kind of like when Seth said earlier, if a receiver's open at the line, just throw it to him and let him create. Mm-hmm. Like, he just caught a ball at the line of scrimmage. Champ Bailey came up to tackle him. He just removed Champ Bailey and just ran right down the field for a touchdown. It was unbelievable.
See, wide receivers that are built that way, cornerbacks, the way that cornerbacks play now, especially if you're the type of wide receiver that pays attention to the details. When you throw a guy a route like that, there's only about 4 or 5 cornerbacks in the National Football League right now that will come up and aggressively tackle you. So when you throw that ball out there, it's like against Tampa Bay. When he kept raising up and throwing those balls out there to Mike Evans when our cornerbacks were 10 yards off,
yeah.
or out there to Chris Godwin, you know, our cornerbacks were back there tapping their feet, you know, because they didn't want to miss the tackle. But they also don't want the physicality as well. So when you look at that across the board, you got A.J. Brown, and you got a second and short, a third and short, and you line up and they're showing you blitz. There's no way you don't tell me. How do you not have that built into your offense? Or why hasn't A.J. and Jalen made the decision that, hey, if this is the look we get, we're going to take what the offense is giving us. what the defense is giving us, rather than trying to force the ball down the field every single time you see blitz coming.